Let's read together Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. In these two verses, we have the exhortation to work out our salvation and the promise that God is at work in us. Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Now let's consider a few background notes first of all. The epistle to the Philippians is one of the so-called prison epistles. It was written by the Apostle Paul from Rome, where he was a prisoner. Nero was the Roman emperor at that time. This would be in the early 60s AD. Paul's imprisonment at that time was actually a house arrest, not a prison cell or a dungeon, but a house arrest. We read about this in Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31. Then Paul dwelt two whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. So under this house arrest, Paul could preach to all who came to visit him. I'm sure he had some great home Bible studies there, wall-to-wall people at times. But Paul could not leave this house because he was a prisoner of Rome awaiting his trial. And as a prisoner, he was chained to a Roman guard at all times. Now, these Roman guards who were assigned duty with the Apostle Paul certainly would have heard the word preached to them on many occasions. They would have been right there at the Bible studies. And we know some of them became believers. We know that the gospel through this means reached even into Nero's household. Well, it was during this house arrest situation, known as Paul's first Roman imprisonment, that Paul wrote Philippians. This is one of the four prison epistles. One of the reasons Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians was because a problem of disunity was beginning to emerge within the church. Very important for background notes on the book of Philippians. We don't know exactly what the problem was that was causing this disunity, but it was not a major doctrinal problem. If it had been a major doctrinal problem, Paul would have dealt with the doctrinal error in no uncertain terms, as he did in other epistles. For example, Galatians, where they were mixing up law and grace, a major doctrinal problem. There's no doubt what Paul is dealing with there in that epistle. But here in the book of Philippians, there is this problem causing disunity, but it's not a major doctrinal problem. It's either a minor doctrinal problem or a non-doctrinal issue. Maybe the problem had to do with the location of the church. Where were they going to meet? Maybe the problem had to do with their outreach ministry there in Philippi. What evangelistic program was the best to reach the most people? Maybe it was a power struggle between individuals in the church. We can't be sure. But in any case, throughout the letter to the Philippians, there is an emphasis on unity, the need to come to unity. In the first 11 verses of chapter 2, the Philippians are exhorted to be concerned about the interests of each other and not about their own personal interests. This would help toward unity. Look at chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. You have that attitude, and it's going to aim toward unity. And then we see in verses 5 through 11, they are to have the same self-giving attitude that the Lord Jesus had when he left the glories of heaven to become man in order to save us from our sins. You have that great Christological passage there in Philippians 2, 5 through 11, but notice how it begins in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If you have that kind of self-giving attitude toward your fellow believers, there will be unity in your fellowship. So it's in that context, then, that we come to this often misunderstood text in verse 12 of Philippians chapter 2. Work out your own salvation. Let's read that verse again. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean, to work out your own salvation? Well, that brings us then to our doctrinal points for this section of Philippians chapter 2. Doctrinal point number one, work out your salvation does not mean that salvation is attained by working for it. Work out your salvation does not mean that salvation is attained by working for it. Notice that the text does not say work for your salvation, or work towards your salvation, or work at your salvation, but work out your salvation. There is no idea here of attaining salvation by good works. There is no idea here that somehow you can work your way to heaven. The Bible must harmonize with itself, and Scripture clearly teaches that salvation is not attained by doing good works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And Titus 3, 5 says that we are saved not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy. If you're here this morning and you think that somehow you can earn salvation by good works, you are mistaken. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says that even our righteous deeds or good works are like dirty rags in God's sight. That is, relative to God's standards of purity and perfection, even the best of our good works are nothing. There's no way you can do enough good works to get yourself into heaven. There's only one way to attain salvation and get into heaven. It's to commit your life to Jesus Christ as personal Savior, because he died on the cross for your sins. Acts 16, 31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So here in Philippians 2, 12 then, work out your salvation does not mean that salvation is attained by working for it. Well then, what does it mean? Well, that brings us to our second doctrinal point, and it's this. Work out your salvation does mean that unity is attained by working for it. Work out your salvation does mean that unity is attained by working for it. Now, you remember the background for this letter to the Philippians, right? There was this problem of disunity beginning to raise its ugly head at Philippi. In the first part of this chapter, Paul had told the Philippians to follow the self-giving attitude of Christ in their relationship to one another. Now he tells them in verse 12 to work out their own salvation in reference to this disunity. That's the context. He reminds them that they have always been obedient Christians when he's been around. Now, in his absence, they must work out their salvation. Work out their own salvation in reference to this problem of disunity. God had saved them. They had salvation. Now they needed to let that salvation be shown by working it out and coming to unity. Now the word salvation here could be translated deliverance or even solution. That is, work out your deliverance or work out the solution to this problem of disunity. Go back to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19, where Paul says, for I know that this will turn out for my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Some of your translations say deliverance, right? Well, it's the same word that's used there. So this word that's translated salvation can be translated deliverance or solution to a problem. Paul is writing in Philippians 1:19 of his deliverance or salvation from being a prisoner there in Rome. In other words, salvation can refer to more than just the salvation of our souls. Illustration. A student of mine recently had a problem. He did not have a high enough grade point average to graduate. Well, we worked out a solution for him. He wrote a major paper, and we were able to up his grade so that he graduated. We worked out his salvation. We worked out his deliverance to the problem. We worked out a solution to the problem. So here in Philippians 2:12, Paul may be using salvation in that sense. Philippians, work out the solution to your problem of disunity. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. You work it out. You work out your own salvation. You work out your own deliverance. You work out your own solution to the problem and come to unity. And remember, Philippians, do it with fear and trembling, he says here. This is important. You're not just playing church. God wants to see you a united fellowship. So work out your salvation with fear and trembling and come to unity. This then is what we believe to be the interpretation of Philippians 2:12. Work out your salvation. Work out your salvation has nothing to do with earning salvation by good works. Work out your salvation does mean that unity is attained by working for it. Now, what about practical application? You can work it out. You can work it out. That is, you can work out problems causing disunity. Is there any problem of disunity here in this fellowship? You can work it out. Now, some of you might be saying, well, not here in this church. Okay, but just in case, somewhere along the line, something comes up which might tend to cause disunity. Remember this practical application. You can work it out. Why can we say with confidence that you can work it out? Look at verse 13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God himself is working in us, if we let him. God always enables us to do what he asks us to do. God wants to see the problems causing disunity removed. God loves to see unity amongst his people. Psalm 133 and verse 1 says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." So if there is disunity in your church or your fellowship or your ministry, you can work it out. This is not like solving a problem of disunity in the business world. No, this is the body of Christ. And God is at work in us to accomplish his good pleasure. He wants to see unity. That's the positive side of this. So if you're facing a problem of disunity in your fellowship, for whatever reason, people or program, don't pretend the problem doesn't exist. Don't sweep it under the rug. Work it out. Don't try to manipulate people to have it your way. Don't try to call all the shots yourself. Work it out. You can work it out. You know, this could be applied to Christian marriage. God wants to see unity there. And he is at work in you to bring it about. So don't quit your efforts at reconciliation. Work it out. You can work it out.